our first guest. I love this guy because he called me back right away. No, there's just Finn Murphy. Finn, how are you?
Good, David. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You wrote The Long Haul. It's a book about our radio show, right? No, it's
it's book about truckers.
Yeah, The Long Haul: A Trucker's Tale of Life on the Road. This speaks to me in two ways. That's why I had to have you on the show. I mean, I love the road. We talk about the road a lot on the show. I write books about the road, and I'm also in the process of moving. So tell us what you do. I know how, you know, in your own words, how long you've done it. You've been doing it for a long time, and then how you got the idea for the book.
Well, a couple things. Well, I've been doing it since, 1976. It was my summer job between college semesters. Back when, remember when we used to have summer jobs instead of internships?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was my job. My parents thought it'd be a really good idea if I did some manual labor. Little did they realize that I would leave college and then become a truck driver for the next 40 years. I don't think that was in the plan, but that's kind of how it turned out. So, yeah, I did write a book about this, about 40 years on the road, and as a mover. So I work for a van line. And why are you moving?
I've been asking myself. I move about every 15, 16 years. I was telling Dan before we went on the air, I found a little – it's been my dream to get a little like mid-century ranch house. It's like 1,200 square feet. But in reading your book, I'm close to a hoarder. I have a lot of books. I have a lot of records. I don't have a lot of furniture. I've got on my list of questions about how to pack me up. I haven't moved yet. But I've got a lot of stuff. I've accumulated a lot of stuff over the years.
Well, you know, people always ask me, they say, you know, what's the one thing that I can do to make my life easier when I'm moving? And I always give the same answer. It's a safe answer because nobody takes my advice, which is throw away everything you own and pack a suitcase.
Yeah, right. I read you, and you say take it to the Salvation Army because it's going to end up there eventually.
<It's> like, eventually, anyway. Although, actually, you know, your vinyl is probably, you know, going to be valuable. Somebody's going to want that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, about your clothes, the leisure suit you might have in the back of the closet, the Tupperware that doesn't have the tops that match anymore, those kinds of things. Probably safe to throw away.
Well, it's funny. I'll jump ahead to some of these questions. I mean, like, I'm going through this, and I don't think I need as many CDs as I have. But you say no one owns books anymore. And that's the one thing I'm – even though I sometimes refer to them for a job or for an interview, but I've got tons of books. And that's what I'm finding hard to get rid of are the books.
And, I have the same thing. It's easy for me to preach to the choir here. Oh, yeah, get rid of your stuff. But, my house is filled with books, too. And I do the same thing. You know, somebody comes over to the house. I say, there's this great passage in The River Runs Through It, and I have it right here. You know, and then I go grab it, and then I open it up, and it's highlighted. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. But that is disappearing from American households, that kind of, social interaction and that kind of, having your intellectual life of books sort of on a wall.
Well, that's it. And I'm an old newspaper guy. I'm not a radio guy. I'm a newspaper guy. And I just love the tactile thing. I still read a newspaper. I still play vinyl. I still read books. You know, I tried can't remember what you call it, where you read the books on the Kindle and stuff. And I underline stuff, and I'm just a real tactile.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going with that. If no one owns books anymore, what made you decide to write a book?
Well, I guess you nailed me there. I hope somebody would read it.
Yeah.
Or it's also on audiobook. And actually, that's really good for truckers because truckers are, we're a big audiobook, customer.
Sure, you are. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I've got an audiobook habit. I need a 12-step program for it. I spend like $250 a week on audiobooks sometimes because I can go – if I'm going from, say, New Jersey to San Diego, I can go through six or seven audiobooks in a week.
And has it been selling? Would I find it at the I-80 at the truck stop there in Iowa, the world's largest truck stop? Would it be in different places like that?
In Wolcott, Iowa.
I've been there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. They got a doctor's office. They've got the dentist. They got the barber shop.
Yeah.
Every time I go there, I say you need to put in a golf course.
Yeah.
I don't even play golf, but they certainly have the room, and
So you can't find your book in truck stops in audio form?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, okay.
My book is in truck stops in audio form, but not in hardcover.
Okay.
And because, you know, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Just that we don't have, you know, I've never seen a truck stop have a hardcover book anytime because, you know, you got a little sleeper. I've got a little, you know, I don't have a whole lot of room. You know, having a hardcover around, I'm probably not going to buy one.
Now, what was the process like? You had an audio cassette recorder. How did you launch the project? Did you take notes? Did you interview people? What was the process like in assembling the book?
Yeah. Here's how it started. At the end of every day, I was kind of stressed out, and I would lie back in my sleeper, and I had this little cassette recorder, and I would just talk about what happened during the day. And then I started doing it while I was driving because I would see some weird things. And then I started doing it because, I'm a mover, so I work with people. I have crews that move, and I work with families. So I started surreptitiously recording things that happened during my working day. And then it really started to get interesting. It's probably illegal to do that, but I think the statute of limitations is over, at least in most of it. So that's what really started the narrative. And then I would keep looking around for books about, you know, truck drivers or about moving. 41 million Americans move every year, and there's no literature out here.
Uh-huh.
So that's what made me get it going.
And what were some of the things you found in your travels? I mean, I have little things here like the heaviest thing you moved, hoarders like myself. I mean, tell us some of the highlights.
Well, some of the highlights as a mover is some of the things I've broken. I completely destroyed a grand piano, actually more than once, but this one was a really good one. That fell down an outside staircase. Made this like really big, nice chord sound, like at the end of the Sgt. Pepper album, you know, bong.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the chord sort of goes on forever, and we're staring at this piano down there on the ground. That was pretty bad. But, you know, one of the things I love about moving is I get to interact with these families that are transitioning, you know, from one place to another. And it's actually really satisfying work. It's hard physical work, but it's a great sort of choice-worthy career.
We got to take a break. We're going to come back, and I got some more questions I might ask you about Mrs. Fowler and her delivery and all that. So,
oh, yeah.
So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal.
Well, I'm trucking trees for Christmas from this old mountaintop. I'm trucking them down to the middle of town from that big Christmas lot. Yeah, I'm trucking trees for Christmas, singing jingle bells on my way.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. On the phone, we have author and trucker Finn Murphy, who wrote The Long Haul, A Trucker's Tales of Life on the Road. W.W. Norton and Company. Excellent, excellent book. Have you ever, you're a mover, so you haven't really hauled trees like Red Simpson there, have you?
No, that's a pretty cool song, though. I never heard that before.
Yeah, Red's got a whole bunch of great trucking songs from like the 50s and 60s. So I got so much stuff I want to ask you. We got about a few minutes here. So tell us about Mrs. Fowler, and she prepaid her full bill of almost $12,000.
So you go on the internet now, right? And you get these internet brokers, and they'll give you a moving quote on the computer, and you know it's kind of crazy because they ask you, you know, how much stuff you're moving, and sometimes they actually have a video. You go around the house and you show them the rooms, and you know everybody wants to lowball the price of the move, so you know they'll leave out the whole basement and the whole attic, and the whole garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll show up as the driver. And I'm like, you know, you got 17 rooms here, and you only have two on the video, and this is, $2,000, and you're moving to New Jersey. This isn't really going to work for us. So, you know, in terms of moving advice, you know, get a local moving company, you know, a guy you know from church or from the Rotary Club or something, you know, somebody who has real trucks, you know, do that. And then try to do a little bit of culling.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know you've got books, I got books, but you know, the Danielle Steele, maybe, you know, we can move that off to the Salvation Army.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the Stephen Kings. And like I was talking about, you know, the Tupperware without the tops.
Yeah.
You know, the sheets that you don't have a mattress for anymore. Those kinds of things. And so Mrs. Fowler, she couldn't throw anything away. She had magazines from the 50s piled up like on stools in her kitchen. It looked like, you know, one of those TV shows. And we were trying to put the things into boxes. She wouldn't even let us do that.
Just
carry the stuff up. So, you know, hoarding's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So what happens is movers, we become kind of Buddhists. We don't hold on to anything.
Except
for the book.
Do you live a minimalist life? And I also read in the book that you don't, like, when you're at downtime, you really don't take road trips. I mean, you're on the road all the time. So, like, do you take vacations anywhere and stuff like that?
Yeah, I take vacations at home. You know what I do? You know what I love to do? I go to my odd sock drawer, and then I pair up the old odd socks. And I do all these, like, domestic things. I clean my bathroom. You know, I refold, like, my T-shirts. All the domestic stuff that drives people nuts. For people that live on the road, when I come home and do those kinds of things, fold my pillowcases, it's just wonderful. It's like this mindful, you know, domestic practice that just is wonderful.
I really want to get into some definitions. I want people to understand some stuff. I was going to read it, but in the interest of time, I'm going to have you explain it. So first of all, Tell us what exactly is a long-haul driver.
Okay, so I basically run water to water, meaning Atlantic Ocean to Pacific Ocean. So long haul is pretty much coast to coast, or up and down, or across.
Mm-hmm. And then you define in the book, in your own words, I think it's very interesting, you tell us the difference between the hourly driver and your independent driver, the private contractor.
Yeah, so, you know, you might see a driver like, you know, for FedEx or Walmart or somebody like that. That's somebody who's going to work by the hour. He's going to be home most of the time. He's going to have vacations, health insurance. And then there's guys, you know, like the long-haul movers like me. We get a piece of the load, of the revenue that the load goes. And then we have to lease our truck or buy our truck, pay our insurance, pay our fuel, and, basically labor, pay everything. So there's two kinds of people. There's company guys, and then there's owner-operators.
I just did a book on we took a little camper van around the country, and I did about 22,000 miles in a year. And I think it's a little Ford Transit van, kind of an American Pickers thing. And it, I would take it up to 80. Now, what do you say about truckers passing me up and going like 85? I mean, truckers go fast. I don't know if you do, but they do go fast.
They? Come on. You don't have anybody going 80 past you, do you?
Is that an issue? Is trucker safety? Do you guys talk about that?
Think of the fuel. Okay. I mean, you could see my carbon footprint from outer space. Like, my truck gets like 5 miles to the gallon. If I was doing 85 miles an hour, I'd do like 3 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, give me the specs. Actually, give the listeners the specs on your truck. Is it 20? How much is it weigh? How big is it?
So my trailer is 53 feet.
Right.
My tractor is about 21 feet, so I run about 74 feet. I can carry 80,000 pounds gross weight. I've got twin 175-gallon fuel tanks. So I've got 350 gallons of fuel. So it cost me about $1,100 to fill it up at 5 miles a gallon. So I got to fill up every couple days.
You drink Dr. Cola? Tell us what that is.
And I drink Dr. Cola, which is part Dr. Pepper and part Coca-Cola. I got a sleeper in the back and a bunk bed. So I usually run alone, but if somebody's coming with me, they can sleep up in the bunk. And I've got a brand new Freightliner Cascadia with a 435 Detroit Class 8 diesel engine, and it's beautiful.
Wow. Best drivers in Michigan?
I don't know why that is. I'm sure people from Chicago would probably be annoyed about that. But by the way, Chicago is about the worst city to drive in the United States in terms of low bridges and places that trucks can get mixed up in.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't you think, I mean, I'm born and raised here, but don't you think the highway system's a little outdated here? I mean, you know, we have congestion all the time, and it's just, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like the interstate system, you know, like the, even-numbered roads are supposed to go east-west, and odd-numbered roads are supposed to go north-south. So how can you get on 94 and go north? For example.
And another interesting factoid you had is nobody honks in low population areas where people know each other. I think that's really interesting.
Yes, well, it's about anonymity, right? So if I'm in western North Carolina going up some mountain road, Even in my tractor trailer, you know, the guy's going to wave to me and, you know, say hi, maybe flash his lights or something like that. And then if I'm in Atlanta at rush hour, you know, nobody will even let me into the merge lane because people think that a car is anonymous, which is kind of weird when you think that, you know, this is a vehicle which is, has windows all around it, and then you have a license plate. So it's very easy to identify you and what you're doing in your car. So don't do things in your car that you wouldn't do, it, you know, at home.
Okay, well, thanks, Finn. You got to come back because I got more questions for you. So
I'm
looking for a mover in January. You like moving in cold weather?
Where are you moving to?
I'm just moving like 10, 15 miles away from where I live now, so it's not a very long move. So I'm just moving outside of
Chicago. Call those books.
Yeah, right. So Finn Murphy, the author of the wonderful book, The Long Haul, A Trucker's Tales of Life on the Road, W.W. Norton & Company. Thanks so much for joining us, Finn.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Dave.
Okay, take care.